Well, 6 weeks ago, Pastor Dave and I began a series of messages on evangelism. And we've discussed, up to this point, four different types or styles of evangelism. And there are many more, but we're going to conclude today with the serving style of evangelism. But before we do, just want to remind you what we've covered so far. Way back the first Sunday in July, Pastor Dave began our series with a message about the confrontational style of evangelism. And usually confrontational automatically just conjures up images and ideas that absolutely positively we don't want any part of being confrontational. If anything, most of the time we'll do anything that we can to avoid confrontation. But you know, there are times, honestly, when that is the best style of evangelism to be used with someone who may be ready to receive Christ. Then we not only talked about the intellect, then we talked also about the intellectual style of evangelism. And we saw some of that last week with our speaker here talking about creation, which gives us information that we know and need to go out there and be able to discuss intelligently those in the scientific world why we can truthfully and honestly believe what the Word of God has to say regarding the beginning of time and creation. So we talked about the intellectual, we talked about the confrontational, and then there was a third one that we talked about, and that was the testimony. And if you're here this morning and you're a believer, every believer has a testimony. And the thing that we know about testimonies is no two people have the exact same testimony. We just don't. Everybody's testimony is uniquely their own testimony. And then Pastor Dave came back and he shared with us the relational style of evangelism. And that is where you and I begin to develop relationships. And hopefully they are relationships that we are developing and building with those who are non-saved, un-Christians, non-believers. Most of us have a circle of believing friends, but how many of us have a circle of unbelieving friends? And there's a need for us to establish relationships with those who are non-believers so that they can see the genuineness and the reality of what is going on and what is taking place in our life. And then hopefully somewhere along the way have an opportunity to share what God has done in your life personally. And then you were challenged. Pastor Dave challenged you all to go out and to do something. Now, we're not going to take a test this morning and see how many have actually done what you were challenged to do, but if I was a guessing man this morning, I would suggest that probably not very many follow through with what you were challenged to do. Of course, as a parent, if we challenged our child to do something and they didn't do it, we'd get highly upset and offer out some type of corporal punishment. Well, we're going to do that today. I thought about taking a second offer, but I didn't figure that would work. Not really. The truth is, you have to determine what's right for you. Pastor Dave and I can't beat you up and make you do it. And I've discovered that we can't guilt you into doing it either. But the truth and the reality of evangelism is the fact that it is the responsibility, whether we like it, is the responsibility of every believer to be involved in evangelism. And you can't go out of here now and say, you know what, you know, I've been in that church all of my life, I've been a part of churches all my life, and I never knew how to be actively involved in evangelism. You can't say that. You have the tools necessary to go and be involved in evangelism. And I think it's appropriate today that we end with this one. We're going to talk about the serving style of evangelism today. Whether you're 8 or 80 or above, absolutely, positively, everybody can be involved in this style of evangelism. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37, you know it. It says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Things have not changed in a couple of thousand years. The harvest is still abundant. The laborers are still what? Few. It is said that in the average church, you have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. Imagine if that were reversed and there were 80% of the people involved in work, in ministry, And by the way, you've already seen today an example of servanthood of serving. Amen. You saw our young people take up the offering. Good job, guys. What a great opportunity it is for a church to allow young people at their age to begin to serve. Then you also heard today of some opportunities to serve. Pastor Dave mentioned that on August the 19th, there's going to be a meeting for all of those involved in being a part of Awana. And Awana has various opportunities to serve in there, teachers, helpers, listeners, and all of that. And so there is an opportunity, again, to serve. Not only did you hear about that, but you also heard about a ministry that has begun to take off in the church this morning. English as a second language. What a great opportunity to be able to help internationals not only learn to speak English, but also an opportunity to build relationships, an opportunity to be able to share with them, hopefully somewhere along the way, what Jesus Christ has done in your life. So there are opportunities already available here in the church for you to serve. Serving or servanthood evangelism is best defined this way. It is intentionally sharing Christ by modeling biblical servanthood. Intentionally sharing Christ by modeling biblical servanthood. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount this morning. We need to be intentional about what we do. And we can be intentional about what we do. We've not only discussed with you over the past few weeks about different styles of evangelism, but we have a mission, we have a vision, and we have a goal around here. And it is in your bulletin every week. It is on the screen every Sunday morning. And our goal, our vision, our purpose, whatever you want to call it, is to do three simple things. First of all, it is to do what? Love God. Second, love people. Third, serve the world. I'm so glad that you're with me this morning because we're going to talk about that. How can we serve the world? And the truth is there are many, many ways you and I can be involved in serving the world. We see that as you read the New Testament, we find that Jesus connected the Christian acts of love with bringing the world to the Father. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see what? Your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." That they may see what? Your good deeds. That means that you and I need to be actively involved, actively engaging the culture, the environment, the neighborhood, the workplace where you and I live in such a way that they notice, that they can tell, that they can see that there is something wonderfully different about our lives that hopefully will bring them to a place or a point that they too will want to know what has taken place. As you read the New Testament, you find that Paul connected trustworthy service with reflecting well on the gospel. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, "Teach slaves to show that they can be fully trusted so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive." So, this ought to be said this morning, and hopefully it is true this morning. You know, church should not and ought not to be what? Boring. It shouldn't be. The Christian life should not and ought not to be what? Boring. It ought to be exciting. It ought to be alive. And we ought to be excited and alive to live the Christian life. But you know, if we could reverse places right now and you could stand up here where I'm at and I could sit down there where you're at, you look out there and you wonder what is so exciting. I mean, honestly, you look at the lives and the faces of most believers and guess what you find? Not very exciting. Not very fun. Not very enjoyable. You know, and I ask myself, what in the world has sucked the life out of us as believers? That we cannot walk around with a spring in our step, a joy in our heart, and make the world see and realize that having a relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important relationship you'll ever have in life. It is a life-changing and life-altering experience. Let's be honest this morning. There are some places where we're serving God or being a part of the family of God is probably not very attractive. And the reason I say that is because we know today that Sunday morning, the 11 o'clock hour, is probably still the most segregated hour of the week. Where people still don't get along, and we're in some places people still aren't welcome. That you have to dress a certain way, act a certain way, be part of a socioeconomic certain class in order to be accepted. How awful that must be. I'm so glad that Jesus, God's word, says that whosoever will may come. I'm so glad that there's not a bunch of rules and regulations that prevent you and I from not only having a relationship with God, but also that doesn't prevent us from being able to do whatever it is God wants us to do. And as you look around this room this morning, listen, every single one of you, just as you have a unique testimony, you have unique abilities and talents that God has given you that should be used for His honor and His glory. I have sat by many a bed, many a hospital bed, many a deathbed, and I've heard over and over again, Pastor Dave probably has too, of people who wish they could go back in life and do things differently, or do things sooner, or give more to the Lord, or do more for the Lord, but now they're to a place and a point in their life where that's just not possible. You know, I don't want to look back on my life and have regrets. And hopefully you don't want to look back on your Christian walk and your Christian life with the Lord and at some point in time realize that you've got regrets because there are things you could have done, should have done, but chose not to do. And as I said earlier, listen, Pastor Dave and I are not here to guilt you into it. We're not here to twist your arm this morning. If anything, as a believer, as a part of the body of Christ, it is an honor for you and I to be able to serve in any capacity. If it's sweeping the floor or cleaning the bathroom, whatever God allows us to do, it's an honor to be able to serve Him. But look also in the book of Acts, chapter 9 and verses 36 and 39. Look what Luke says about Tabitha. It's got the wrong reference up there, but it's in Acts chapter 9, not 2 Peter, because you know 2 Peter doesn't have 9 chapters, right? Amen? Unless your Bible is different than mine, it doesn't have 9 chapters. It says, Tabitha was always doing good and helping the poor. All the widows stood around Peter, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. One of the elements that I find missing in our churches today is that, you know, there are things that some of you were taught as children growing up, and you probably passed them down to your kids. But I'm amazed today at the simple things that just no longer are passed down. I heard the other day that, read the other day in the newspaper, one of the things that the people look for now, when you go to the bank and they're hiring somebody to work in the bank, people have the inability today to count back money. And the reason is we've become so dependent upon what? Machines and computers. I'm surprised today at the number of young people today who do not know how to run a washing machine or dryer or think that the only way the dishes get clean is if you run a dishwasher. And you mention the thought of doing them by hand, and it's like, are you kidding me? Or you know, how many people today who've never had a cake that didn't come out of a box, or a cookie that didn't come out of a box? You say, preacher, you quit preaching, you've gone to meddling. What about, you know, there are so many things that we were taught, simple things taught growing up, that just do not get passed along. And when they don't get passed along, what happens to them? They die. And they stop. You have so many of you sitting in here who are mature Christians. By mature, I mean older Christians. You have a life of wealth and information that truthfully needs to be shared and truthfully needs to be passed on. We were talking the other day, just you know, how wonderful sometimes it is just to go out and lunch with some of our senior adults and hear what God has done in their life, what God has done through the life, and where they come from and where God has brought them. You know, that's what a great thing to be able to do that. You know, both the grace a believer knows and the love a believer shows, or listen to this, it ought to be with no strings attached. That's what serving is about. Serving is about nothing, no expectation of anything in return. Most of the time, you ask somebody to do something today, and what's the first thing they say back? Well, what's in it for me? Or how much am I going to get paid? My answer is nothing. If you live in my house and under my roof and I'm feeding you, you know, you're going to work for free. Ain't that right, Jordan? But it seems like everything today comes with an expectation of getting something in return. Because we really don't believe this in this world we live today that anything anymore is what? It's free. You go to share with somebody about the gospel and they want to know, okay, well, what? Where's the punchline? Or where is the expectation? Where is it? What is it that you're not telling me about? You know, there have been a few occasions when we were downtown before we came together that we did some servanthood evangelism things. It was amazing that we'd hand out beads or things of that nature, or we'd hand out candy, or we had big fun festivals downtown, and everybody always wanted to know, well, how much does it cost? Because everything, and we'd tell them it was free. It was an amazing thing. There really are things in this world today that are still free. One of the things that we've talked about as a staff that we want to begin sharing the vision, and hopefully it'll come to fruition one day, how great it would be to have a servanthood evangelism trailer, a service evangelism trailer, because you and I know that there are always events and activities going on in our communities, amen? Always. And if you've ever been to one, you know that that in Florida it gets hot, and usually when it's hot and you're out there walking on those streets or you're out there checking out the arts and crafts or the art festivals or whatever's going on, that normally a simple thing is getting a cold drink of water costs what? $3? Isn't it amazing how much we pay more for water than we do for gas? They're almost the same now, but we do. You know, one of the other things that if you've got small children that you normally can't find is you normally can't find any place if your child makes a mess of themselves or if they get wet, you normally can't find a place to change them. So we talked about, wouldn't it be great if we had a servanthood evangelism trailer, basically a comfort station where parents who had small kids could come in and have a decent place to change their kids, change the outfit if necessary. Wouldn't it be great if we could just give away bottles of water and just tell them that we're doing this, no strings attached. We could give out snow cones and just give all this stuff away with the intention that we're simply doing this because we're modeling in our lives what? Service. We're modeling in our lives serving. And other of you are thinking, you know what, preacher, that's a great idea, and you and Pastor Dave ought to do it. Well, one of the reasons we haven't done it is because Pastor Dave and I believe that it's responsibility, not just our responsibility, but the responsibility of the congregation to become involved in serving and service. And by the way, there's no age limits on that whatsoever. It is instead, listen to this, that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. My question to you is, does Palm Harbor know that Crossroads Baptist Church cares about them? Be careful how you answer. Does Palm Harbor know? Does Dunedin know? Does Northern Pinellas County know that we care? Because isn't it true that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care? It may be that the serving style of evangelism is the way to attain a hearing for the good news with those who seem the hardest to reach. It may be that handing out that bottle of water or handing out that snow cone or providing that place where a parent could come in and change that child's clothes or diaper opens the door to be able to share with them the good news. Who knows what door the Lord may open? Remember the verse we began with this morning? Matthew 9:37 says what? The harvest is plentiful, the harvest is abundant, but what? The workers are few. We want to turn that around, amen? Truthfully, honestly, we want to turn that around. And truthfully, serving does not have to be headline news. Sometimes just listening is the best service. And guess what? One of the kinds of individuals that they need in Awana are people who come in and do just that. Just listen. Guess what? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to just come in and listen. Sometimes the best way to serve is to lead someone to a better place. In other words, you know what? I may not have the answer, but I know someone who does. I may not be able to get that for you right this minute, but if you'll give me an opportunity, a chance, I'll do what I can. And why is that necessary? Let's go back for a moment to our verse we read this morning in Matthew. It says, let your light. Whose light? Not the church's light, not Pastor Dave's light. It says, let your light shine so that they may see what? Whose deeds? Your deeds. Your deeds. The truth is, the world's looking. They really are. They're looking at you and I. The reality is that there's a lost and dying world out there that wants to believe. They want to accept. But we live in a culture today that's very skeptical about a lot of things. And they want to see the reality. They want to see the truth of what you and I are talking about in a very practical way. In a very real way. Words are no substitute for actions. They just aren't. You and I know that words are what? Cheap. We know a lot of people that can talk a good talk, but can they walk the walk? 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We need to put some action to our words. If all you ever do is tell somebody that you love them, you love them, you love them, what happens after a while? Do the words become meaningless? I mean, do we find any substance to the words? But what happens when we begin to see actions along with the words? Now listen, I heard this story a long time ago, an old guy who got married and he said, yeah, listen, honey, I told you when I married you, I loved you. If that ever changes, I'll tell you. That's not the real world where you and I live. The real world where you and I live is you tell somebody that you love them, they expect to see what? They expect to see that love in action. Let me ask this one. How do you and I know that Jesus Christ loves us? Only because the Bible tells us so? The reality is that we know that Jesus Christ loves us because he not only told us so, but he demonstrated through his what? Through his actions. Through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. We know that he loves us because he proved it. He proved it to us in his life that he lived. How is the world going to know that we love them? How is the world going to know that we accept them if they see us simply rejecting them? I am constantly amazed that sometimes as believers, and listen, it's really easy to get the mindset, that sometimes as believers we expect a lost world to act anything other than like, guess what? A lost world. And they're going to act like that. Why? Because they're lost. Why is it that we act differently? Well, because we once were lost, but now we're found. We once were lost, now we've entered into this relationship. We once were lost, but now we've seen the love of God in action, and we know that it's real. But also notice, here's the flip side of this. Actions are no substitute for words. Romans 10:14. How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, you know, Pastor, I just love lost people. Well, here's the question. When's the last time you shared with one of them the love of Christ? Well, you know, Pastor, that's just not my personality. That's just not who I am. That's okay for you to do that. But it's just enough for me to love them. And the answer to that is, that's not right. The reality is that there has to be some words along with those actions. Actions are no substitute for our words. There has to be a balance. There has to be action and word. In other words, you and I have to not only say it, we have to live it. The serving style of evangelism starts with loving actions that lead to saving words. In other words, let's be sure to express why we're doing what we're doing and what Jesus has already done. Let's make sure. And as I said earlier, whether you're 8 or whether you're 80 or above, no one can leave here today and say, Preacher, I've got a legitimate excuse for why I'm not involved in servanthood or serving evangelism. There are some strengths to this type of evangelism. One, it is effective in reaching people in today's culture. It's effective in reaching people in today's culture. I can take you up to Trinity, where our church plant Bay Point is, and prove to you that this works. Every week, they have someone come to their church as a result of their servanthood evangelism projects. Last Saturday, a week ago, they were handing out popcorn, they were handing out snow cones, they were handing out bottles of water. On Sunday, they had 7 new people come to the church. You know why they were there? Simply because they were serving. Simply because they were handing it out. So I know that it works. Secondly, it is personal evangelism in a corporate setting. In other words, we sometimes are absolutely scared to death about the possibility of having to do something like this on our own. There's just no way I could do that by myself. Well, let me encourage you to take somebody with you. One of the great things about serving evangelism is usually it involves more than one, usually it involves more than two, and most times it involves a group of people who are involved. And so guess what that does to the stress level? It just automatically reduces the stress level. Because the reality, again, is that you may not necessarily have to do something. It may just be that you have a presence there and somebody else will do the talking. Here's one. It's low-risk evangelism. You know, most likely somebody's not going to turn away that bottle of water, turn away that snow cone. Whereas if you've ever gone confrontational evangelizing, you go knock on the door, that person on the other side of that door may not be your best friend. They may not even like you. They may not even come to the door. I'll never forget, as a young man, we were in Ocoee, Florida. And just around the corner from the church, a young girl was coming to church. And so the pastor said, listen, I want you to go this week on visitation and go over and visit mom and dad and let them know that we appreciate their child coming to church. And just let them know if there's anything we could ever do for them to just, you know, give us a call or stop by. And so, you know, I got in my Baptist outfit. In other words, I had my dark pants, my shirt, my white shirt, and my tie on. And I go that evening to knock on the door, and I knew there was somebody home. All the windows were up, the TV was going, but as I'm knocking on the door, I see this person make a beeline out the back door. I found out later that Dad thought I was with law enforcement. Thought he was in trouble, and he was gone. I had another occasion where I was out, knocked on the front door, screen door, so screen door is locked. He's sitting in his chair. He never budged. He never got, and then of course I had another time where a guy turned his dog loose. That was back in the days when I had good knees and I could run. You know, this is low risk. The likelihood of something happening to you like this are pretty low. It is also an essential part of the church's mission. As we said earlier, what is our goal? What is our mission? What is our thrust here? Is to love God, love people. And what's the third part of that? Serve the world. That's an essential part of our mission. One of the things that I wish as a young man growing up our church had done more of was allowing the young people to serve. And let me just say this, if we wait until our young people are young adults to serve, the likelihood of them hanging around and sticking with us is not too good. When you realize that over 80% of those who grow up in church, who graduate high school, leave the church. Now, to me, something's broke there, and it needs to be fixed. And I believe one of the areas that it needs to be fixed is this area of serving. That's why I'm so thankful that, listen, to be a part of a church that allows these guys to serve. Not just in here, but, you know, they have leaders in training, in Awana as well. So there, again, are multiple areas of being able to serve. And believe it or not, I know you're not going to, because as Baptists, we're just not allowed to have fun. But the truth is that doing this kind of stuff, it's fun. It is absolutely fun. You know, one of the ways it's fun, you get to know people. You get to learn a little bit about them. You get to find out a little bit, because let's be honest this morning, how many people in church do we really know? And probably just what? Just a handful of people that we really know. Anything about them, anything about their life. Crazy thing is, sometimes you get out there and you realize that you have a lot more in common than you think you do. And here's the better part, I think. Sometimes you realize that it doesn't matter what your age is, you still have things in common and you still enjoy each other's company and being around them. Imagine that. There are some more strengths of serving. It involves everyone in evangelism. Listen, families can do this together. You can do this as a family. You can do this as an extended family. You can do this as a life group class. Believe it or not, you could do this. Everyone can be involved. I believe it also follows the model of Jesus. It allows people to use their creativity. Be creative. I've heard of all types of ministries going on in churches that were not the brainchild of the idea of the pastor, but God laid something on someone's heart in the service, in the audience, and they took it and ran with it, and guess what? It grew. It blossomed. I mean, we know churches today that have soup kitchens. We know churches today that have closed closets. I know churches today that there are people that all they do is call on the shut-ins each week. I know that there are churches today that have ministries where they take old clunkers and old cars and they turn and fix them up and make them available to people in the church who maybe don't have a car, or to someone who does, who needs a car. But the list this morning is endless. I have a book in my office that has over 1,000 ideas on serving evangelism. Over 1,000. And I'm sure, and it's not complete. It can be done anywhere. That's the other beauty about it. It can be done anywhere. We have, and y'all need to be praying for it, next Sunday we're hoping to have a servanthood evangelism project out down here on the causeway, where because there's hundreds of people down here every weekend, we're hoping to give away hot dogs and water. Why? Because how are they going to hear unless someone tells them? And how are they going to know we care unless we're doing what? We're showing them in a real way. We're putting our actions and our words together. It can be done, and it can be extremely winsome. What do I mean by that? It helps us grow in our walk with the Lord. And what does it do for them? It allows them an opportunity in a non-threatening way to learn about the love of Christ. What was the first verse we read this morning? Matthew 9, 37. You say, preacher, you're repeating yourself. I'm doing it for a reason, okay? Matthew 9, 37 says what? Says the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is abundant. But what's the problem? The laborers are few. And if by chance you're thinking this morning, preacher, I've got an out. Preacher, I've got an excuse. In closing this morning, listen, I want you to see something. I want you to watch something very carefully. I want you to listen to it very carefully, because if you're a child, a teenager, a young adult, a median-age adult, or a mature adult, this says it all in a nutshell.
Serve God. We need to learn to serve God. Besides, that's grown-up stuff. Nobody listens to a kid like me. When I get to be an adult, I'll have plenty of time to think about serving God. Yeah, I guess I thought about it, but between school, my sports schedule, a part-time job, and a girlfriend who picks up every other spare minute, who's got time? Right now, I've got to concentrate on getting my act together, or I'm not going to get that sports scholarship I'm after. I'm going to have plenty of time to serve God after I get through school. Serve God? You've got to be kidding. I have barely enough energy to get up in the morning and go to work. So a wife, three kids, two cars, and a six-digit mortgage will do to you. Once my kids are old enough to be more independent, I plan on doing more around the church. Serve God? Yeah, I'm planning on it. I'll be able to retire in a few years. I know I haven't done much up to now, but I've been really busy building my business, raising my family. I'm sure God understands that I'll be able to concentrate on serving Him once I get to retirement age. Set in my ways. I'm sure God understands. He doesn't need an old codger like me when He's got hordes of young men and women available. I'm sure He'd rather I just stay out of the way and let those young bucks take charge. Serve God. I guess I just ran out of time. How will you know what to do in heaven if you haven't had any practice here on earth?
I can't say any better than that. The last question was, how will we know what to do in heaven if we haven't practiced it here on earth? My challenge to you as we end the service today is simply this. As you leave today and you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd ask you to stop by and see Pastor Dave or see myself I'll be up here after the service this morning. I'd love to talk to you, share from God's Word, how you too can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, I just have one word for you, and that is to go. We need to get out here and we need to go. We need to engage this world for the cause of Christ. And everyone here today can do that. The choice is yours. Pastor Dave and I, we're not going to beat you up. We're not going to come ring on your door. We're not going to send you multitudes of letters and phone calls. We're not going to harass you. We simply want to let you know today that there's hundreds of opportunities to serve. The choice is yours today whether or not you're going to serve God, whether or not you'll be one of those who looks back on life and says, well, you know, I just ran out of time. The truth is we've got time, and that time is right now. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time today that you've given to us. We thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. And Lord, I just want to say thank you right now to those who do serve, for those who are involved in multiple areas of ministry. We appreciate their faithfulness. We appreciate their service. We pray for strength for the days ahead. But for, Lord, those that have been on the sidelines, those who have been in the background and not in the forefront, I pray today that this message will cause them or stir them to really take a bold look at their life and ask themselves a question, where can I serve and how can I be more actively involved in the kingdom of God? Because Jesus reminds us that the harvest truly is plentiful. We still need more workers. And I pray the day will come when we will have more workers than we have opportunities. Right now we have more opportunities than we have our workers. And so, Lord, I trust that as we go today, that we go looking at the world, looking at our neighbors, looking at our community, looking at our jobs, and asking this simple question, how will they know unless they hear? The Lord loves to put our words into action. I pray this day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and y'all have a good day.